This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.
Hey, what's going on? This is Justin Adams with CBS 4 down in Denver, Colorado, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KSKA.
First game under the lights at Nottingham Field. I am so excited for this. The UNC Bears open up their season, their fourth season under UNC head coach Ed Lamb, and they'll be playing host to Weber State. So we're trying to sift through this. It's hard to make picks. Picks are on Friday. Everybody knows that, but we're working on it. We're trying to get there. And trying to help us with that is this gentleman here, Brent Hine. Is the sports editor at the Standard Examiner. Found his Twitter page, of course, all things Weber State. Weber HQ does a wonderful job. I love depth charts. He's laying it out beautifully, too, for Weber State, just kind of going through this. Brett, thanks so much, man, for giving us some time. And I don't mean any disrespect by saying this is our Behind the Enemy Lines segment. You are the enemy this week, Brett, and then we can be friends next week.
That sounds good. I mean, I'm not taking any snaps this week, so I don't know how much I'm the enemy, but good to talk football.
Anyone involved, Brett, fans, media, it's gloves are off time here. It's an intense feeling around here for UNC, at least. I mean, they're one of the last football programs in the country to finally get light, so we're just trying to catch up, but we're looking forward to a good football game this Friday night.
Yeah, in some ways, it's kind of hard to believe it's here already, but also just all the change that's been happening here at Weber State feels like it's been a long time in that regard since they've played a football game. And there's a lot to discover with this team, a lot to learn about this team. So,
yeah, obviously, Weber State named their 13th head coach. You got a new coach, which, according to Ed Lamb, they're very very familiar with each other. They have a past.
Yeah, I mean, so Eric Kerr is one of the most successful high school coaches in Utah history, second most state titles, I think 12th most in wins, which is mostly a 10-year thing. But he's pretty much any record holder. If you look at the Utah high school record book, the quarterbacks that are under the different categories for record holders, like at least half of them are his. I can't even remember. I don't have the record off the top of my head, but he lost like 15 games in 10 years.
That's incredible.
Or maybe even less than that. And offensive guy, he knows that's his calling card. But yeah, going back to his first high school job was at Jordan High School in a suburb of Salt Lake. And, you know, Ed Lamb recruited his kids when he was there. And, you know, Ed was at Southern Utah and then at BYU. And so, you know, they've as good of a program as he's run, you know, he's pretty familiar with a lot of college coaches, but especially Ed and his roots in Utah. So, yeah, they go back quite a bit.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting hearing some of those stories with Coach Lamb. And I thought this was interesting, too. You noted on the depth chart, Devin Brown will be starting quarterback for Weber State. Now, Eric Kerr, he coached him, isn't that correct, in high school?
Yeah, so Devin's from, he's an Arizona guy, grew up in Arizona, but he transferred up to Utah. I believe he was the year after Jackson Dart was the quarterback at Corner Canyon. So when you have success like that, guys want to play for you. So Dart was the same alma mater as me up here in northern Utah. He went down to Corner Canyon to play for Eric for 1 year, and then Devin Brown came up. So that was a few years ago, though. Devin's been at Ohio State and Cal since then, just kind of been in a backup role. So he's looking to be on the field for his last year of college football and kind of get back to a system that he had a lot of success with. He's I mentioned the Utah record books. He's the number one in single season passing yards. Devin Brown was in that 1 year, so they're hoping to replicate some of that and get Weber State back to a few more wins
Yeah, Weber State, obviously one of the, you know, one of the big forces in the Big Sky for most of the time. But as you mentioned, the last couple of seasons have been kind of down for the Wildcats, and they make the move. They bring in Eric Kerr as their next head coach. Tell me what, on the quarterback side of things, you know, you're talking about the records and everything, and just how good this guy can be. What kind of quarterback is he? I mean, mobile quarterback, he can move a little bit, but obviously has a pretty good arm.
Yeah, I mean, I think he can move enough to be serviceable, but he's not a dual threat guy. I will say that as far as what his arm looks like, he looks like there aren't a ton of guys in the Big Sky that, you know, every year that have an arm like he has. Now, that their job with him is getting him enough reps and getting him ready to be the guy. It's been a long time since he's been the guy for a football team. So just, you know, seeing the field, reading a defense, calling protections, all that stuff. But yeah, I mean, you just show up and watch him throw at practice. His ball looks different than most guys. So they're hoping that goes a long way for them. It's been a while since Weaver's had a quarterback that could really spin it. So, yeah, there is, at least for that reason, hopes are high. But there's a game experience factor that him and a lot of guys, most of the guys on the roster are going to have to overcome.
I'm talking to Brett Hine, Standard Examiner sports editor. Great Twitter account, Weber HQ, at Weber HQ. So you mentioned that the hopes are high in the quarterback position. What do you expect from this team under Eric Kerr in his first year? Do you look at this and say there's not a lot of pressure? It's all just kind of about, you know, seeing what this is all about. There's not really a win loss total expectation, or are expectations higher with this kind of move?
Expectations are higher just because the last couple of seasons were so, well, I don't know what the right word is. You know, I'm not trying to drag anybody who put in all the work that the players and coaches did, but it just wasn't fun football. Like, the offense was super inefficient, hard to watch at moments. They'd have certain games where they looked great, and then other games where it just wasn't fun to watch. They just yards per play and that sort of thing. They just weren't moving the football very well, and the defense struggled. So I think just in terms of, like, do we have a coach who, you know, maybe is better at discipline and leadership? If we think we do, then, you know, you'd hope that just naturally that would lead to at least a couple more wins. Some of those, you know, one score games where you're just, you know, not, you know, the ship isn't steering tight enough. It's not disciplined enough football. You hope they pick up a couple more wins that way. But, you know, it's really hard to tell. The schedule's better. The schedule's easier. So you'd hope that there's some improvement there. But, yeah, like you said, the pressure, I feel like the pressure's pretty low as far as trying to pull the program back up from where it's been to kind of more what fans have been used to over the last 10 years. So it's hard to answer that question because you show up to practice and certain guys look good. I've never been able to tell. There's been years where I show up to practice and I think that,
yeah,
you know, there's not much to see, and then that ends up being a really good team. So, but I think just from those factors, I think the general idea is that he's as good a coach as, you know, he has been, the floor is at least a little higher to start with, and then we'll see about what the ceiling looks like later.
It's interesting, you know, you can tell the differences in programs. And, you know, we're here, we're hopeful that we finally see a turnaround for the Bears. The Bears finished with the same record as Weber State. But as you said, you know, those are down years. For fans here, we're not used, I mean, 4 wins at this point is pretty good. You know, we're expecting a few more this year. We'll see. But it just kind of shows you the difference between the two programs, where Weber State's like, no, we're not going to be a 4-win team. We don't even want to be a 6-win team. For UNC, they're on this trajectory where, man, 6 wins, if they can find a way to get to 6 wins this year, that would be phenomenal. What is your kind of perspective as you dig into this matchup, but also as you dig into UNC, I think pretty much picked near the bottom in the coaches poll, the media polls, we feel there's a turnaround on the horizon. They had a lot of close football games last year. Seems like Ed Lamb's doing things the right way here for what this area needs. What is kind of, in your opinion, like the overall big sky opinion of the Bears?
Yeah, I like you said, it's been a struggle for Northern Colorado ever since they made the move up and joined the Big Sky. I can't really think of too many seasons where, you know, again, not to ruffle too many feathers, but there hasn't been too many seasons where people see Northern Colorado on the schedule and they're worried about what that week is going to look like. I actually thought last year was the first year where, like, I think if they were on Weber's schedule last year, Northern Colorado probably wins that game again. I saw their game at Sacramento State. I watched a lot of that. I think it was Colorado State they gave real game too. So,
yeah, that was a crazy one.
I think that's, as you have experienced the year to year on any college roster, is there's so much turnover. So I know there's questions that Northern Colorado has to answer, but it's kind of the same thing I talked with Eric Kerr, is that, you know, Ed Lamb is a proven coach, and he's an experienced coach. And I think, just generally his body of work is that he can coach a team to, that discipline and the fundamentals. If you button all those up, that raises your floor. And then you got to keep building from there. But I thought last year was a great example where, I think for the first time, people probably looked at Northern Colorado and said, this is going to be a tough game. Like, they've got some guys, they're playing hard. In general, though, I think that's probably been the feeling about Northern Colorado over the last, couple decades. But we'll see if it's different this year. I hope so. The Big Sky is better when the teams that traditionally have been toward the bottom, and, like Idaho State, for example, people are really high on them this year. When teams can make that jump, I think it's better for everyone.
Well, the Bears finally got some lights, Brett. They got lights, and we're not going to be playing this on a Saturday afternoon at 1:00. It's going to be Friday night. So I know around here, like, that's the buzz. This is the first ever game under the lights at Nottingham Field, so certainly we'll be a different feel, not only for the Bears, but for teams coming here to play. All the other teams are used to the lights, but not in Greeley, Colorado.
Yeah, I mean, that's the interesting thing is that I think Weber State has 80 new players. that's a huge number. So I don't know I don't think hardly any of them have been out there except for, like Noah Kerr, the receiver, was out there 2 years ago as a freshman, and some of their fifth-year guys who are still around, a handful of those guys that are still on the roster. But I think more than anything, just that one day shorter turnaround and the travel out there, as far as a first road trip goes, might be interesting mentally to just kind of get a handle on. But,
Brett,
but yeah, we've got a whole slate of high school football that night, and I'll be watching this game instead. So,
it's Friday night. I know there are a lot of Preps fans that are like, "What are we doing here?" But at the same time, the excitement I think is overriding that. I know it's hard to do this, but I got to ask you, blind picks, because we don't. That's the thing, man. We can list the players. You said it. You can go to practice and you can evaluate guys, but you don't know what it looks like when they're going against other guys. But just a blind pick. That's kind of what it is this week. How do you feel about this game? Weber State going to take care of business against the Bears? How do you feel this one's going down?
I know this is like the least fun cop-out answer, but I generally don't do picks. I don't like to do that, but I legitimately, like I said, they have 80 new players. Only like two position coaches are the same as last year. So it's a brand new staff, basically a new roster. I think there's been concern since spring camp of, what their offensive and defensive lines look like and if they have guys who are ready to play, college football at that level, at least enough to field those units. So I could see Weaver playing really well. Their skill positions and you know they're high on the quarterback. That could turn out really well. They like the defensive scheme and the defense has made it hard on the offense at times in camp. So it could go really well for Weaver State, or they could line up and realize, oh man, but we thought we had some guys, especially up front, you know, in the trenches. We thought we had our guys, and you know that wasn't nearly as good as we hoped. So I think it all comes down to that, pretty much. But yeah, I don't. It's kind of like you said. Both teams had the same record last year. They both Northern Colorado feels like they're building something. Weber State is trying to kind of start over and get back on track. And honestly, your guess is as good as mine. There's so little things known about this Weber State team that I honestly couldn't even figure out how to make a guess on what might happen on Friday. It's that new, and that's exciting and interesting to tune in and see what's going to happen.
No question, man. And we'll know soon enough here in a couple of days. We'll get to see these two teams square off here in Greeley, 7 o'clock Friday night. Brett, appreciate your time, my friend, and would love to catch up with you down the road.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, and overall exciting time for college football to be back, and hope it's a good year for everyone.
Yeah, can't wait, man. All right, enjoy watching. Hopefully for you guys, well, for the Bears' sake, hopefully we get this one, and then after that, you start to see the Weber State rebuild. Brett, we'll talk to you soon, my friend.
Sounds good. Thank you,
Brett Hine, Standard Examiner sports editor. For all things Weber State, 11:51 the time. We'll take a short break. It's the whole show powered by Mosquito Joe. We'll be right back.
Front Range Spare Change returns for the 2026 football season. Find podcasts on 1310kfk.com, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.